Okay, tonight we're looking at John 18. We're going to have tonight and three more weeks. After that, we will go into probably the Christmas season and Christmas sermons and stuff like that. There are 21 chapters in John. So, this one and three more.
So, it'll take us to the end of November.
End of November, probably, yeah. So, after Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas took a company of soldiers and some temple police from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. And Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing there. When he told them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them, "Who is it you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they said. "I told you, I am he," Jesus replied. "So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the words he had said, "I have not lost one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's ear, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, "Sheathe your sword. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the company of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish temple police arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was advantageous that one man should die for the people rather than that they should all die. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the slave girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciple too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the slaves and the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them warming himself. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I've spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I've always taught in the synagogue and in the temple complex where all the Jews congregate, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the temple police standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I've spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter then denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. This is one of the very important passages, because before Jesus was crucified,
they were worried about not being able to eat the Passover, which throws off the whole timeline that we've actually been given. Then Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." So Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." "It's not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. They said this so that Jesus' word might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. This is also a famous phrase. People will say, "Que veritas," that's a Latin thing. What is truth? And it comes right from here. Said Pilate, after he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no grounds for charging him. You have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Guide us in all we do. Make us the people we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the garden, we know from other gospels, was actually called Gethsemane. And Jesus often went there for solitude. Jesus was constantly being referred to wherever he went as going off to a solitary place. Well, this made a very solitary place. It was a garden where... Now, once again, gardens back then traditionally were where you put your crypts. So it was sort of semi-garden, semi-cemetery. But Judas knew that Jesus was there. He knew that's where he would go. So initially, the Romans were not involved. The soldiers they're talking about are actually Jewish soldiers. The Jews still had their own little army, just under the total control of the Romans. And if the Romans got into a situation where they needed backup, which was going to be very unusual if that ever happened, they could call on them. Usually they used them only as cannon fodder. But now they had them. They also allowed them to have temple police, which were armed. Because there were so many Gentiles in the city of Jerusalem that they knew that they needed to protect the temple, and so they had an agreement. The Romans agreed they would not go into the temple under any circumstances, and the temple police wouldn't take any action against them. If they got right up next to it, okay, but they would not cross the threshold. As long as they kept that, there was going to be no problem. So then we get into the betrayal. Now, the Kidron Valley goes between the Temple and the Mount of Olives. Temple Mount was a place at the east end of Jerusalem. We now hear about the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. Well, basically, this is a wall of what retained all of the soil and everything above on the plateau. And it was on the west. The problem is, we don't know which way everything went. And a lot of people have thought that the Western Wall was the back of the temple. The eastern end would have been the front of the temple. And oh my, now if you rebuild the temple according to specifications, you're going to be right on top of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the second highest religious site for Muslims. But what if the Western Wall was the side of the temple? And what if the north was the back of the temple and the south was the entry? Which some people have said they think. Well, now we have the Al-Aqsa Mosque right outside the Jewish temple in what's called the Court of the Gentiles, where only Gentiles can go. So you could rebuild that way. You could rebuild according to specifications just exactly the way the temple was before. Now, the Muslims, of course, don't want that to happen because all of a sudden, the most holy place for the Jews would be restored, and they don't want that. For Christians, depending on what denomination you're in, there are various places that are very holy to us and so on. Mostly, I think most Christians think the most holy place in the world is Golgotha. And guess what? We know exactly where that was, because the Roman plans for Jerusalem are still existent. And we know exactly where Jesus was crucified. We don't really know where he was buried. We don't really know where he was born. We have all these things where they have holy sites. The only one that we really know where it is I know where the place of the skull is and where Jesus was crucified. Exactly. And like I say, if you went from the Western Wall, there's a valley. They have a new name for it, which I didn't write down. But it passes down this kind of a... In Arizona, we call it a washout, because when it rains real hard, all the water runs through it. If you go right down that, you'll come to the Mount of Olives on the other side of the valley. Jesus brings a lynch mob. Or Judas. Yes, Judas brings a lynch mob. They're coming for him. It's the middle of the night. They figure, we'll get away with this. We'll have it done before anybody knows what's up. He may have just wanted the money, or he may have had other motives. There's a lot of stuff. You can get just books upon books upon books about why did Judas do it. The commentaries that I was reading, most of them lean towards he was a crook. He just wanted money. Other people have said that he was a revolutionary and that he wanted to force Jesus into displaying who he really was. Other people have said he just wasn't really that sure, so he wanted to put him in a situation where he would have to show who he was. Didn't work out the way he wanted it at all. John actually skips all of Jesus' prayers and goes right to the arrest. You may notice that. He comes to and he says, okay, he prayed. And then...
Well, the prayer was...
Prayer was in 17 was still in the upper room. But in the other Gospels, we have Jesus brought them out there and he had them. He says, sit here and pray while I go off and pray. And when he comes back, they're asleep. Okay, and then he went back and forth, and he prayed, if you could take this away from me, please do it. He was sweating drops of blood and all this kind of stuff. But John just cut right through that, because the important thing to him was the total illegality of these trials, which we're not done with yet, by the way. But Jesus immediately went to protect his disciples. He asked, who do you want? They told him, we want Jesus. He says, well, I'm he. And literally, it knocked them on the ground. The force of the great I am knocked them down. When God says, I am, I mean, when Moses said, what's your name? And God said, I am who I am. And it knocked Moses down. The great I am is so powerful. And so he says, okay. Then he asks him again, who are you looking for now that I've knocked you on the ground? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. He says, well, I told you I'm him. Let these guys go. So that he doesn't lose any of his disciples. Well, Peter's not having anything of it. So he goes out and whacks off Malchus' ear. In another gospel, it talks about him whacking off an ear and Jesus saying, don't you think I could have had 12 legions of angels if I wanted to do it? And he grabs Malchus' ear, puts it back on, and it's totally healed. Now, by this time, I think old Malchus ought to be a Christian. But at any rate, Jesus tells them, don't resist. I have another sermon about this period of time. When he tells them, don't resist, this is what blew their freaking minds. Because they're used to saying, we are not going to take this. Jesus says, no, just let it go. It's okay. You see, they were totally ready to die for it. They were not ready to live for it. So then they take him to his first trial. And he's taken to Annas. Now, Annas is the most respected former high priest because there's a change in how you do high priests now. Most Jews thought Annas was the high priest, period. Because he was the first who did not become high priest for life. When he became high priest, he became high priest for life. But then the Romans came in and changed it. And they said, no, we will set a new high priest every year because we don't want anybody to build up that much power. Which tells you the wisdom of term limits. But at any rate. Meanwhile, they're in there talking. Peter denies Jesus. He's then taken to Caiaphas, who they say is the high priest that year, because that's who the Romans wanted, because, you know, it's kind of like some people want certain politicians because they're crooked and they know, yeah, we're going to get along and we'll get what we want with these guys. But once they've gone through all of that, they've determined if we kill him, the Romans will kill us because we're not authorized to kill people here. So they take him to Pilate, and the Jews will not go in. And as we said, it says because they did not want to be unclean and unable to eat the Passover, which means they didn't eat it yet, which means the Passover had not happened. And the highest probability is that when they said that Jesus had to be off the cross because of a Sabbath, the Sabbath was Passover. That's a whole other thing. I've got a sermon for that one too. But the Jews wouldn't go in. So Pilate says, what did he do? And so they begin explaining, and he says, well, wait a minute. That you've just given me all of this Jewish crap that is meaningless to me. I don't get it. And they just keep dithering. So they said, we want you to judge him because we can't put him to death. Well, now he's starting to think, wait a minute, we're getting into serious business here. I'm not sure I like this. So he says, oh, I know how I'll do this. I'll fix him up. I'm going to give you a prisoner, just like I do every year. You want me to give you this man who's really not a bad guy, after all? And they go, no, give us Barabbas. 1970, I was at the Urbana Conference, and Tom Skinner made one of the most brilliant statements I ever heard. The reason they wanted Barabbas was because he's easy. Mm-hmm. If they get Barabbas and he goes out and starts having another revolution, they just send in the Romans to take him out. This is not a big deal. Jesus, on the other hand, was completely upsetting their entire religious system. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want him. And so they said, we want Barabbas. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, Jesus was a voluntary sacrifice. Make no mistake about it. And it says it, like I said, in another gospel. They could not have taken him if he didn't want to be taken. Mm-hmm. He could have called 12 legions of angels and wiped the entire freaking Roman Empire off the face of the planet. But he didn't. Because that wasn't God's will. Do not fight illegal trials. This is hard for us. This is hard for me, Pat, I'll tell you. I'm very upset at the stuff that's going on in our elections now. Okay? I spent 21 years of my life protecting this country and the Constitution. I don't like it when people screw around with it. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, don't fight them. Let me handle this. It's so hard. That's why I identify with David so much. It's so hard. Oh, Lord, can't I just go out and whack his freaking head off? You know? You know that Goliath guy is talking bad about you, Lord, not me. And God says, yeah, I think you need to go take his head off. That would be a good one. He was rejected even for a revolutionary criminal. We have people today who would rather have a revolutionary criminal than a good Christian, because we crimp their style. Yeah. But Jesus had it before. He had power even to the end. At any moment, he could have ended this. And he didn't. Everything that happened to him, he allowed it. He would not use that power that God had given him, because it wasn't God's will. Now, there's some question, you know, these people who love to get into all kinds of meaningless arguments and stuff. Well, if he had gone to use that power, wouldn't God have taken it away because it wasn't God's will? Well, no. I kind of think the reason he had the power was because he had always, for all of his life, done exactly what God wanted, and he wasn't going to stop. Now, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We thank you for this wonderful book that every week we can come in and look at. I ask you, Lord, to help me each week as I prepare for this. Help us to get closer and closer to you. Seems a little funny. We're studying Easter just before Christmas. That's okay. I'll get Christmas when this is all done. Go with us as we go back on into the world. because it ain't easy. Help us to serve you and to show you to everybody we know. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, guys. Mm-hmm.